Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Advent Sunday, the beginning of the church year, a time of preparation and expectation, of the recalibration of our Christian hope and the renewal of God's promise. Today is a beginning, for it marks a fresh retelling of the story of salvation in Jesus Christ, who in the power of the Spirit leads us to the Father. Advent resets our bearings so that we can be receptive to God's dramatic and decisive intervention in human history in the person of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, born of the Virgin Mary. Familiar and beloved stories will be told in the coming weeks. And the call of the Gospel today is that we are awake and alert to what is to come. And in Advent, we remember that what is on its way is not simply Christmas, but the life of the world to come, as the Creed calls it. In this coming church year, St. Luke's Gospel becomes the guiding way that the mystery of Jesus Christ will be presented to us. Many priorities will unfold as we read Luke in this coming year. And the emphasis of today's Gospel is a repeated but rather overlooked theme in Luke, which is, be prepared, be alert, wake up. The Son of Man is coming. Today's Gospel reading is quite hard to hear and hard to read. It sounds a bit weird and wacky with its references to signs in the sun, the moon and the stars, or nations confused by the roaring of the waves. What does it mean, the Son of Man coming in a cloud? Well, the language and genre of the passage and those phrases that we've heard is called apocalyptic. This isn't quite to be understood in terms of a disaster movie from Hollywood and what Hollywood means to be apocalyptic, although you could say that some of the apocalyptic literature, certainly in the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, and parts of the Gospels, does have a certain cinematic quality to it. Rather, properly speaking, apocalyptic is about things that are unveiled, an unveiling of that which is hidden. Apocalyptic is about lifting the veil on things that are beyond our vision. In apocalyptic, as in Advent, it's as if we move through doors of altered perception as deep things are unveiled to us. Perhaps the only time we experience this, and you may say or speak for yourself, is outside drug-induced experiences. But all of us move to this every night, I want to suggest, when we fall asleep. In sleep, we enter a world where we are still ourselves, we remain ourselves, and yet in some way we're not quite ourselves. Sleep is a world that is at the same time very familiar and yet very strange. So the apocalyptic imagination is vivid, fantastical, almost exaggerated. And sleep tells us about a changed perception of our bodies and how we experience the world. Sleep is a deep and recurrent theme throughout Advent. Just do a brief scan of traditional Advent hymns, and you get, picking up from Scripture, phrases like, wake, O wake, with tidings thrilling. And in the Scriptures, phrases like, now it is time to awake out of sleep. So we experience this change of consciousness every day or every night when we sleep, remaining ourselves and yet somewhat different in a strange world. And then when we think of those images of apocalyptic, we might think to the inner world of our dreams. Sometimes reading the Bible combines the world of apocalyptic and dreams and the interpretation of dreams. I don't know about your dreams. Don't worry, I'm not going to share too much when we get to this point. But some of my dreams can be very prosaic, humdrum, and apparently easy to interpret. And then other dreams I have seem to bear no relation to reality, no relation to life as I live it day by day. But these dreams might intrigue me, unsettle me, or downright frighten me. Dreams are open to interpretation, but also to puzzlement and confusion. A bit like apocalyptic literature. But let's be clear though, I am not saying that apocalyptic writing is not true. Quite the contrary, it's true in ways we cannot fully grasp. And I'm not saying that apocalyptic writing is a dreamy, ethereal, and ultimately too wacky to take seriously sort of writing. On the contrary, it's speaking of deep things yet to be unveiled. Apocalyptic writing and imagining, just like this season of Advent, invite us to pull back the veil and to peer into a world scarcely known to us, the life of the world to come. And from there, we look back at the world as we know it, the world here and now, and then we see that world in new ways too. It's what we do every time we pray, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." The way Advent does this is to place before us four great things of our existence and of the life of the world to come: that of death and judgment, heaven and hell. But we ask, how might we possibly know what the life of the world to come might hold? Surely it's too far beyond our sight. Surely we have to die to experience it, and then we can't possibly know it in this life. Well, one way we might ponder that sort of question is about seeing death as a birth. As St. Francis puts it, it is in dying that we're born to eternal life. The Christian hope, a great theme of Advent, Christian hope, is that when we die, we are born into a new existence. Life is changed, not taken away. We retain who we are and yet are transformed. As St. Paul puts it, our mortal bodies will be clothed with immortality. And strangely enough, each one of us has been through a similar sort of transformation before, when we move from our mother's womb out into the world as we know it today. As a child in our mother's womb, we remain the same person after our birth, but we enter a world of new senses, which are familiar and yet strange. For as we now know, in the womb, the baby can hear sounds and see shades of light and darkness. And those sounds and shades are just hints of the world the baby will be born into. The baby doesn't know in the womb that those sounds will become the wonderful sweet voice of human communication or the glories of music. The baby in the womb doesn't know that those light and dark shades will become the brilliance of the colours of the world, the blue sky, the green grass, the beauty of human eyes. The baby cannot possibly imagine or understand all that in their world in utero. In the same way, we come to know the life of the world to come in Advent through apocalyptic signs, barely knowing or understanding what they mean in all their fullness. But these signs point us to the promises and hope of God through the resurrection and glorification of Jesus Christ. These apocalyptic signs, like the ones we read in our gospel reading, are like the sounds and shades of inside the womb. They seem to give us puzzling reflections in a mirror, as St. Paul puts it, echoes and shades ready to be fulfilled in love. Apocalyptic and Advent do not point us to an afterlife, but rather to a fulfilled life, renewed life, eternal life, here and now, which is the life of the world to come, which is perfectly infused with love. A life when, to quote St. Paul again, we will see face to face, and we will know fully, even as we have been fully known. Firm in that love, the love revealed in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, may we, as St. Luke urges us to, wake up, be alert. And may God so strengthen our hearts in holiness that we may be blameless before him at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. And to that may we boldly reply, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.